Good morning and welcome to Focus on Health, the weekly radio program where we talk about all the great things happening at Van Deest Medical Center. I'm your host, Lori Foster, and joining us for today's program, we have one of our providers, Jade Williams, who is an adult gerontology primary care nurse practitioner, and she's going to be sharing more of her story as she has been navigating ovarian cancer. Before we hear from Jade, I have one special announcement to share. We are pleased to announce three more awards for Van Deest Medical Center and Van Deest Family Health Clinic. For the third consecutive year, the readers of the Daily Freeman Journal have chosen Van Deest Medical Center as the best place to work and Van Deest Family Health Clinic as best medical clinic for 2024. The gift shop at Van Deest Medical Center was also named the best gift shop for the second year in a row. A thank you to everyone who took the time to vote in the Reader's Choice competition. And now we will hear more from Jade. So we last spoke to you in February.
Yeah.
And you were just starting treatment.
Mm-hmm. I just had, it was Valentine's Day. So I had had, I think, my first treatment because I was at the end of January and I was getting ready to do my second treatment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right before or right after we recorded. And then my hair fell out the day that we recorded mm-hmm. as well. So, yeah. So then I had my second treatment, and it went much better than the first one, which was, you know, a huge relief. But we also had, I mean, literally every medication they could offer to try and dampen any type of immune response to occur with the second. And then from that point going forward, we just kept with that same regimen. So high dose steroids, Pepcid is like famotidine is actually a really good immune suppressant. So we utilized that. And then what else did we take? There's several medications. So the famotidine, the dexamethasone, the Benadryl, and then I also had a cocktail when I'd go in for treatment as well. Of what they were giving through the IV. So, mm-hmm. and then we also added in some, I believe it was Ativan to just kind of help keep everything. Yeah. Dave treatment. Mm-hmm. Cause obviously it's really traumatic.
Yes.
After having to like back to back, allergic reactions to medications, you know, cause I had one with the port placement and then I had one the week or two after with the actual treatment. So they just decided it would be better, or they gave me the option, you know, would you rather just kind of drift off and sleep? It's a long treatment type of situation. And so it was great. Ryan would sit there and work and I would sleep. And then I'd wake up usually just as they were getting ready, as the Taxol would end. And then the carboplatin we would start, and that was a short infusion that was only like 30 minutes, and then we'd pack up and leave for the day. So
and yeah. You had a total of how many of those?
We did six rounds.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, after though the third one we had to, I had my like mid treatment scan, and everything with that one looked good, but we found out when they drew labs, like it's so weird because during treatment, at least for me, I got extremely tired, but you know, and they kind of prepare you for it, but it's a tired unlike any tired I've ever experienced, even like newborn baby tired and that type of thing. Like you're just this level of like fatigue that you can't really explain, and you also don't really, or at least for me, I didn't really realize it until like I would stop doing what I was doing, and then it was just like, you just like can't move. You like sit down and you can't move and you can't help but just want to fall asleep.
Collapse.
Or you fall asleep. And so I had been feeling really tired after the second round, and then I had the third one. After the third one, had the scan and they checked labs that day, just, you know, to check them. And it turned out my ANC, so the absolute neutrophil count, which is kind of like the hallmark lab that you utilize for treatment. I mean, there's other blood work they're looking at, but really that's kind of the standalone or what stood out to me. That number has to be at one or higher. And so it's just kind of showing where your immune system response is at. And so if it gets below one, they have to hold treatment. And mine was well below that. And so they gave me the option for the following round that we were gearing up for, if we needed to take a week off or if we could redraw labs the day of treatment. And if it was still under one, then they would have to send us home. And so it's like psychologically, that's a lot to process because you have to start your pre-meds. And then you're like, especially with the kids, you're trying to get them prepared that mom's going to have another treatment, but then might not, you know, if you go in. And so we had met with Dr. Luke and Bill and just decided based off of the symptoms I was having and where the count was currently at that we wouldn't, we would just push treatment back a week and give my, hopefully let my body rebound a little bit and have some improvement in those numbers. And then from that point on, I had to come in and get an injection the day after treatment to help stimulate like your bone marrow to make, to hopefully help it make those cells so that you don't fall well under, you know, the ability to get treatment. It also increases your risk, you know, for hospitalization from some type of like febrile neutropenia or something like that. So where your body will just develop a spontaneous fever and then you're even more predisposed to, you know, a viral pneumonia or something. And then having two little kids and they were both in dance at that time.
And exposed to
yes,
everything I mean, all the other dancers. Yes.
So that, you know, I was like, okay, well, we really can't. I didn't want to end up in the hospital. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, so then I got to come and I'd get to spend a afternoon with Janine day after treatment in the infusion center here. And, I have to say though, it's a lot different getting, some type of treatment in a small town hospital. You know, it's quiet, I got warm blankets, you know, the lights were dimmed down for me, you know, mm-hmm. just like, what do you want? Like Halston would come with me sometimes and she'd get her cookies or, you know, just like all the, you know, the little literally five-star treatment, mm-hmm. you know. Yeah. So you can't pass that up for sure.
I love that you mentioned that. That's
yeah. Like she loved it. My mom loved it. I mean, so that was the other thing. I really couldn't drive after treatment because it's like the day of treatment, it's like a dream that whole day from all the medications. And I'd usually come home and I could make, like I'd shuffle around and make dinner or whatever. And then the next day, my mom would come and be with us from the start. So she, you know, thank God for my mom. So she would come and help, you know, get through that day. And it's weird because you don't really feel that bad, actually, or I didn't. But, you know, I couldn't take care of my kids. Mm-hmm. And so that's, like, the hardest part to think about, you know. And then Thursday night she would take the kids and, you know, I'd be, you know, bedridden for several days after that because it just, the fatigue and the nausea and everything would be so bad. And I don't really know why necessarily my symptoms were so terrible. You know, there's several people I've talked to and they're like, oh, you know, it was fine for me, or, you know, I'd do treatment and I'd be down for the weekend and then I'd go back to, you know, work or whatever. But also, there's no way I could have done the type of work that I do after treatment. There's just no way I could have done that. It wouldn't have been, you know, great for my patients, and there wouldn't have been anything left for me when I went home, because I just, I would have been so tired and just exhausted. So, but yeah, so thank God for my mom, because she would take the girls, and then Ryan would usually stay home on Friday, because Fridays and Saturdays were usually my really bad. And then Sundays, they'd usually get me up around like 10, and they'd be like, we're just gonna get out of the house. So like, we'd go out to the golf course or, you know, that type of thing, and it'd be okay, because I could, like, and, you know, I'd be with the kids and doing things with them, and but it's still like very dreamlike, and you're just like so tired, but it feels good to get up and like be moving around. And then it depended, like each treatment, it got worse. So it could usually take a good 7 days before I'd really start to feel better. And, you know, and then you start to feel really good, and then maybe for like a day or two, and then you'd start to feel even more like yourself, and then the next thing you know, it'd be time for another treatment. But at the end of treatment, I also found out that we hadn't ever adjusted the dosage amounts that I was getting during treatment, and I guess that's something that happens sometimes oncology decides that based off of your labs or your symptoms or things like that, they'll taper back or adjust the amounts of the Taxol that you're getting, or you know, whatever. But in my case, we just stayed the course. So I was getting the highest dose every time of the Taxol, which is just a real heavy, you know, blanket chemo agent. It's used for a lot of different cancers, and it has a pretty heavy side effect profile. So, you know, I don't know if that's potentially why, you know, symptoms were so bad or not. But then by the sixth one, we decided, I was having a lot of issues like with neuropathy, and they each time would tend to, like the primary symptom that I'd get with the neuropathy would get better before the next treatment. So, I didn't really think anything of it, but by the sixth treatment, they recommended that we reduce the amount by, like, I think we reduced it by 25%, which was quite a bit. And then, you know, thankfully it was the last one. So that kept spirits up, I think. And unfortunately, the last treatment fell on Ryan's birthday. So he got to spend his birthday at the cancer center. And then we, like his mom and sister and my nieces and, you know, my parents and our kids and everything, they all were there, obviously. And then we celebrated a little bit, and we went out to Mineral City and ate, and, you know, just, it was nice to kind of help celebrate him a little bit too. So, and I think we were all very excited to get that
huge day. Huge day to get there.
Yeah, definitely. So it felt pretty surreal, to be honest. It's like a weird feeling to know that that's your last treatment, and then you just kind of, now you just kind of wait it out and do all the, you know, whatever you really can, I guess. And it's like so crazy realistically how that all works out, to be honest. But
yeah. What day was that, the last?
It was a Wednesday. The last day of treatment was on a Wednesday, May 22nd, and so it was right before Memorial Weekend. And then, you know, unfortunately, I was down for the holiday and all of that. And then that was kind of a bummer, but it was also really nice just to know the kids were out of school, we were done with treatment, and and then we went to Florida the first week in June. So like we had a little bit of down, it was just enough time to kind of recover from the last treatment. And then we went to Florida for like a week. And it's weird because we had all looked so forward to the trip, but I think we all didn't expect how tired and exhausted we were all going to be, maybe just coming off the last, you know, really, because everything had started back in July. So here we are a year later, basically, right, from when all of this really had started to transpire. So I think we were all looking so forward to the trip, but then it also was just like, it took us so many days to finally relax when we were there. And by the time, I think we all really did kind of settle into a groove and was able to kind of just like take a deep breath and process. And then it was time, you know, to turn around and come home. Yeah. But it was still fun. And, you know, when you're down by the water, you're really just hanging out in your swimsuits anyway. So, and enjoying the heat and all that. So.
And it's another world away from here.
Yes. You know. Yeah. It felt good just to, get on a plane, disconnect, and just, look out at the Gulf, you know, every day, all day long. And it's definitely a vacation state of mind, or that's where you're trying to, you know, put yourself when you're down there. So it was great. And then by then I had been, I mean, they hadn't really released me yet to start getting back into training or working out, but it was more of like an ease into it. So I had like brought bands, like resistant bands, and started easing back into my workouts, which felt great. It just felt good to wake up, have the sun shining, listening to the waves, and like get in a workout while the kids are still sleeping, and then you know, get your body moving and feeling, you know, a little bit of rejuvenation is really, and normalcy. I mean, really, that's really all the things it encompasses for me. So
exactly, because this is who you are. I mean, a lot of the first part of your story you shared, you're a person that works out. It's part of your day. You're driven that way. I can appreciate that. And when that is part of your makeup, just to get back to that state is where you want to be.
Right.
So how has that been?
So it was scary, to be honest, at first, because I was so worried. Because treatment just, I mean, this like aging that it makes you feel, just the treatment, it just makes you feel older and slower. And like, I even noticed my posture had changed. You know, I've just kind of like hunched over and shuffled around a lot, I felt like. So to like get your body moving and then to push it, but you don't want to push it too far, because I was really worried I was going to injure myself right out of the gate. Like, oh, I'm going to tear a ligament or something, because you're so, your body is so tight. Like, I don't know how to explain it. I've never, like, it just, I hurt. And in my mind, I'm like, this is, I probably feel, you know, like I'm in my 60s or something. One of the things I read said, like, chemo technically, by the standard that however they determine, it ages you by like 10 years. So, and I'm in my mind, I'm like, there's no way that this is only what a 48-year-old feels like, because I just felt so tight, and I was terrified that if I didn't stretch out well, or I didn't ease back into it the right way, I was really gonna injure myself. So I just started out with bands, then from there moved into using free weights, but lightweight. And then now finally I'm back into like using the machine, doing, I mean, in my mind, a little heavier weight. And it feels good. And it feels good to wake up the next day and have that actual feeling of like, oh, that's what a good workout feels like. Yeah.
But Jade, I'm proud of you, because you know that you're a driven person, and that is hard to hold back. So I'm glad that you listen to your body. I mean, your body's been through so much. So like, smart to think like, I don't want to get injured. I don't want to be even weakened more. You're still getting stronger, getting back. So I'm so glad you've just taken it a day at a time. You'll get back there.
You will. It's hard, believe me. And then also just the recovery. Like, now that's the biggest thing. You know, if I'm feeling really sore, then it's highly encourageable. Then, you know, take the day or 2 days to recover, or whatever you have to do. So really, it's, I think I'm just knocking out like two full body days a week of lifting, which is still really good. I mean, I can't complain about that. When I think that it's only been like 8 weeks since my last treatment, I need to give myself a little more grace for that. Mm-hmm. But I'm not back into doing any cardio. That's something my trainer, Brittany, and I had talked a lot about. Because originally I had set this goal in my mind, like halfway through treatment, I'm gonna do the half marathon that I did before I had surgery, which is in October. And so I started thinking, well, I even got a planner and I wrote down how many miles I could ease into like getting this running plan going and all of that. So technically I had set myself up to start this when we were in Florida and I was just gonna run a mile, you know, which is it's still a little probably lofty goal at that time, but that's where I was at. Not accounting for the heat and the humidity and the fact that I hadn't, you know, done any type of cardio. Yeah. So quickly, Brittany talked me down from that. Not that she doesn't support my goals. She absolutely right. does. But she's just like, you don't want to increase this level of inflammation or stress on your body. Like, you know, right the now. Goal isn't to put your body into this high alert state and then, you know, who knows what issue, you know, you could unfortunately look at over the next short term period of time. So I haven't started back into cardio yet. And that's probably, it's scary because there's a part of me that really wants to. And then there's a part that's like, I don't, you know, really even know if that's something I can achieve. So we'll see.
You will find it. Whatever that looks like.
Yeah.
You will.
Well, we're getting a stationary bike, so I think I'll ease into it doing that way first. Because I tried walking on the treadmill, and that was fine, but it's just not the same. But I feel like a stationary bike would give me a little bit better, like, just full body movement that I'm looking for. And also, I think it's good for my mental mm-hmm. state. Like, I just need that area where I can kind of check out and just kind of get into a groove. But you know, that's been the other thing, all this stuff about menopause and, you know, everything, and my fears are still the same as they were the last time we talked. Like, I get worried about the cardiovascular health and the aging of the brain and you know, the loss of muscle mass and setting myself up for osteoporosis and just all these things. But my last appointment with Dr. Kramer, you know, we talked, and I'm still not a candidate for hormone therapy, which once again was probably a lofty thought that since I just went through treatment and everything that we could maybe consider that already. But so it's kind of figuring out, well, what can I do from a standpoint of trying to save all of that off with no estrogen? Because that's, you know, right now there's a huge movement, I feel like, about estrogen and menopause and just like all these things. And so kind of figuring out, well, how can I not lose some of these things, or how can I like mainstay where I'm at mm-hmm. so that I don't set myself up for those concerns when I'm older situation. So definitely lifting weights and then hopefully, you know, getting some cardio back in there mm-hmm. and seeing how that goes. And also just, I don't like to take medication if I don't have to. And that's just my personal thought. If the lesser amount that I can take for the longer period of time, then it's just less taxing on all my other body systems, because there's always a risk to the benefit of any, you know, pharmacological, and that's even the same though too with, I should say, with herbal supplements. I mean, everything has a risk and a benefit. So mm-hmm. kind of figuring out what works best for me. So yeah, right now, I mean, my working out is my medicine, and just getting back into a good flow with work and kind of trying to figure out what a new like home balance feels like and that type of thing. School will be starting soon for the kids, so that'll be another layer of stress, even though we don't realize it. And both girls, they're doing comp this year. So Finley was last year, and Halsin got to come along for all those things. And so then she wanted to do it. So now she's on the minis team, is what they're called. And so both girls will be in competition dance. So kind of figuring out, you know, what that will be like being a real full-time dance mom.
In the schedule that yes. that entails.
Yeah, yes. In the schedule and the commitment and everything. But that's the other thing, you know, while I was off, as grim and dark as chemo and just going through that, those months were, we had the dance, which sounds so silly, but it was such a good, it was just a good thing for all of us. I mean, it got our family away. She only traveled for 3 weekends, but it was great because it always worked out that it was in the middle before another treatment. Mm-hmm. So I didn't have to worry about all the other acute symptoms or worrying like having a treatment on a Wednesday and then going to a dance competition all weekend, you know, that I wouldn't have been able to participate. So that was just a really good outlet for all of us. And the Dance Connection, I mean, Becky, they're just a great team over there, so supportive. All the moms were great. You know, they'd always check in and be like, are you doing okay? Like, how are things going? Do you need help with Finley? Or just to make sure, because I didn't want Finn to miss out on anything. But I didn't want to miss out either, you know? Mm-hmm. And so it was definitely what we needed. We had the dance recital in May, and the thought of community is immense in this town. And we were getting ready. So they had the, you do like the whole week, a whole mm-hmm. week of run through for dance. And then since Finn was on comp, we had the showcase Friday night and then the recital and all of that. And it's Mother's Day weekend. I mean, it was just a lot going on. And they have a finale, you know, for everything. And they were putting little ribbons on the shirts. And I had no idea, but it was for me. And I mean, I don't even know if Finley knows that or Halsin. I mean, I think we tried to kind of explain to them, but just the thought that they took the time to think of doing something like that for me when, you know, it was just, that was extremely amazing. I can't ever repay them for something so kind. And I mean, every dancer had a ribbon on for me. Like, you know, I don't see myself as being that important. So it was just, it was extremely amazing. And I am so grateful for that. And, you know, if we're depending on how the future plays out, like, to know that my kids will have that forever and have that memory. And, you know, I obviously put a couple little ribbons and a, you know, a little keepsake thing and mm-hmm. and all of that. But that was a pretty cool moment for sure.
A special thank you to Jade Williams for sharing her story. More can be heard about Jade's journey by going to the Van Deese Medical Center podcast. To hear the rest of Jade's journey, you can access our podcast by going to your favorite podcast and music streaming apps like Spotify, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, or Audible. You can also access by going to vdmc.podbean.com or go to our website at vandeestmc.org/listen. And that will do it for today's edition of Focus on Health, brought to you by Van Deese Medical Center, where our focus is you.